Texas Senator Ted Cruz has confirmed he will be speaking at this weekend's National Rifle Association annual meeting in Houston, just days after the Uvalde, Texas school shooting. Former President Donald Trump will be speaking as well. One gun owner who will not be going is Rob Pincus, and we'll hear why in a second. Pincus is executive director of the Personal Defense Network and vice president of the Second Amendment rights group 2AO.org. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I have some policy questions for you, but first, can I ask how you reacted after you heard about Uvalde, after Buffalo? I'm 10-year-olds, fourth graders.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks. Obviously, you know, react first as a father. I have a 7-year-old. I'm later today going to be out at her field day at school as she finishes up her school year, and that's the first thing I think every parent thinks about. What if, you know, as someone who trains teachers and students and police officers and individual citizens to respond to violence like that, there's the technical answer, but at the end of the day, there's still the father answer. And we need to be focused, I think, in a week like this, not on the politics and not on the rhetoric and not on the talking points, but what can we really do as gun owners? Certainly, we have a responsibility, we have a role to play as the gun industry, but also as parents and as teachers, as school staff, as administrators, what can we really do to comfort our families and to prepare our schools and our kids?
Well, you have written and spoken publicly about what you describe as a counter-narrative on this conversation. You co-wrote an opinion piece with Dan Gross, the former president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, about a counter-narrative. And again, kind of sidestepping the public conversation and the kind of the buzzwords, when you think about a counter-narrative within the community of gun owners, what does that sound like? What does it look like?
We got to remember, the vast majority of gun owners have guns for defensive purposes. They have guns to protect life. They have guns to protect their children. They have guns to save lives. And they do an incredible number of things to prevent negative outcomes involving firearms. I mean, everything from getting the training and education to, you know, carrying guns responsibly, staging them responsibly. The vast number of firearms that are owned and the vast number of gun owners in America who own them responsibly and who use them responsibly every day, that's something that I think doesn't get acknowledged or talked about enough. Unfortunately, a lot of the loudest voices in the room, even from the gun rights side, sound very callous and sound very detached from the realities of the responsibility that come with our Second Amendment rights. So, you know, one of the things that I really stress is, what are gun owners thinking about this? What does the average gun owner do in their daily practices and in their life as gun owners to avoid negative outcomes? And it's not just something that the gun control people are interested in.
Yeah. And education and safety, as I've been reading up, is something that you write about a fair bit. You also write about one of the key numbers being gun deaths and reducing them. As far as what else is on your list to lowering that number, what is your thought on background checks that was in the article you co-wrote?
Yeah, you know, the thing with background checks is unfortunately, I mean, look at the last two shootings, ones we're talking about, you know, this week, you know, Buffalo and New York. These individuals passed background checks, one in a very restrictive part of the country and one in an obviously less restrictive part of the country. The background check is something that gets talked about a lot. And one of the things you hear is you know, up to, there's one organization actually called 97%, up to 97% of Americans support the concept of background checks. One of the problems we have is that really, bottom line, in the gun rights community, we see background checks as a hoop you have to jump through, as an infringement placed upon people who are trying to exercise their rights responsibly. There are ways to change the background check system and certainly strengthen the involvement of mental health professionals in the background check system that could really improve it, make it less of an infringement on responsible gun owners, and increase the chances that they would actually stop tragedies like we saw in Buffalo and New York or Texas.
Okay. Rob, I understand you are not planning to attend the NRA annual meeting this weekend. Why not?
Well, the NRA has been in a state of incredible dysfunction and quite honestly collapse for several years now. I sit on the board of an organization called Save the Second that's aimed at reform efforts to change the NRA. And the efforts have proved almost fruitless. And one of the most important ones with the NRA, not only to obviously take away the stranglehold that Wayne LaPierre and his dysfunctional regime have over the organization, the culture war narrative from the NRA has only gotten worse. There are better things to be done. I'll be at a training conference in St. Louis called the Train and Learn event with about 100 other people that are influential in the gun community, trying to better ourselves and really fight the fights that need to be fought and do them in a responsible way that represents the vast majority of American gun owners. They're not all Republicans, and their voice gets lost when this becomes a right versus left conversation. And so right now, the NRA is not doing the gun rights fight any favors. The NRA, frankly, continues to serve Wayne LaPierre and almost nobody else.
And finally, just on the question of rights, the Supreme Court has made clear there are limits on the First Amendment, right? You can't blackmail someone. You can't plagiarize. You can't libel someone. What about the Second Amendment? I mean, are you arguing an absolutist version of that personal liberty with a gun is more important than, say, public safety?
Well, freedom isn't safe, and that's an unfortunate reality. You know, we celebrate freedoms in our country, and we celebrate the concept of freedom. We also have to accept the reality of the risks that come with it, and that means we have to exercise our rights responsibly. The Supreme Court has declared, I mean, Scalia said that there are appropriate or reasonable restrictions that can be placed on Second Amendment rights. They haven't been well defined, and I think that's where the conversation should be happening. That conversation should be happening, you know, amongst rational people that are reasonably capable of making solid arguments and understanding the perspective of both sides. It shouldn't be talking points and rhetoric, you know, launched from the extremes.
Rob Pincus is Executive Director of the Personal Defense Network, and he's Vice President of the Gun Rights Advocacy Group, 2AO.org. Rob, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.